there, but it puts me to mind to go see my own plastic surgeon, which I did. And I said, look here, I want you to do some work on me. He said, okay, let me go get my pen. So he went and got his pen, because, you know, they got to mark stuff so they don't cut the wrong thing off. I said, look here, I want you to widen these eyes. I want you to slim down this nose. I want you to make these lips a little bit fuller, and I want you to move this chin over, and I want you to pick the girls up, because when I put that chin down, I want to be resting on them. I want you to go in and suck all the fat out my stomach and all the fat out my behind and distribute it amongst your friends. Well, by the time he was done marking me up, there wasn't nothing there. I mean, there was nothing left of me. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, now this can't be. This cannot be all there is. Because you know what happened? I woke up one day with no preparation. There wasn't no phone call telling me what was coming. I woke up, there was no 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 menopause. It was boom, you're done, you're finished. It's all over. Everything you thought you knew, everything you thought you knew about you has all changed. And there's no illumination here. From here on in, you're on your own. Now, it's always been like that, but somehow this was different. Because, you know, depends are not a sanitary product. You know what I'm saying? So it was a whole new world. And they tell you to take all these pills. They used to tell you, take all those hormone pills, get good. And you take them for years. And then you get a phone call saying, oh, by the way, you're not still taking those, are you? And you go, yes, I'm still taking them. They say, oh, well, you should stop now because they might cause cancer of the eyelashes. And you say, well, how long have you known about this? They say, oh, 5 or 6 years. And you think to yourself, why don't you have this down? How can you keep a man hard for 19 hours and not be able to cool down a hot flash? How is that possible? And things outside of you make you crazy. You'd be watching TV and on comes this commercial. You know the one I'm talking about? If you was born between 1919 and some other number, you need to call AARP. And I used to think, oh, them some old people. I saw that commercial quite recently. My year was included with it. And I thought, when the hell did I become eligible for AARP? And you know, they say, contact us, we'll give you all the information you need. Well, you don't have to contact them. They're like child services. They find you. And you start to get these magazines in the mail. It made me, you know who's on the cover of my AARP magazine? Richard Gere. And you know, this whole thing, they give you all this information trying to tell you everything's fine, but then they want to sell you information about a coffin. And making plans for the, they call it the future. As far as I can tell, that ain't no future. That's the end. You know? And you know, people get so upset with you when you try to explain this to them, or you start to ask them about certain things, because people get very upset with you if you don't have a computer. I don't have a computer. I don't like them. I don't trust them. I'm scared of them. Because I don't know what kind of information they're sucking out my mind when I'm asleep. Because you walk past the room, you hear them just silently going, oh. People want your email address. I ain't got no email address. I don't want no instant message. The only instant I want is coffee. You know what I mean? Or people get very upset if you don't have a cell phone. I hate the things. They're too small. I swallowed 3 of them last week. Yeah, or you open them up and you can't even see the numbers because you went blind the night before. You wake up and suddenly you're Helen Keller. And even if you could find the numbers, you can't remember who you was calling. Because suddenly half your memory just, boop, is gone. And you find yourself talking to somebody and suddenly realize you have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I mean, it's all these crazy things going on. And I tell you what really pushed me over the edge. My son came into my room and he sat down on my bed and he looked at me and he said, Mama, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. And he looked at me and he said, Mama, am I gonna die on the way to school? And I said, what? He said, no, Mama, am I gonna die on the way to school? And I looked at him, and I kept trying to figure out how to answer that question. And I realized that I could not find my mama face. You know that mama face? That's the face that allows you to bald-faced lie to your children. Daddies have it too. But I couldn't find the face. And I kept looking for it and looking for it. And I kept thinking to myself, what would it have been like if I'd have said that to my mama? If I'd have said, Mama, am I going to die on the way to school? She'd have looked at me and she'd have said, no, Lurleen, not on the way to school. And I would have known that that meant get on out of her face, you know what I mean? But before I got out of there, she'd have stopped me and had my face in her hand. And she'd have looked at me and said, now, baby, no, Lurleen. You're not going to die on the way to school, baby. Things like that don't happen. And she'd have kissed me on my forehead and sent me on my way. And I would have known nothing was going to happen to me because Mama made it secure. I knew nothing was going to happen. I knew that if Dracula had showed up in my neighborhood and my mama had seen him, he wouldn't be sucking nothing in my house. That's how secure I was. And of course, as an adult, you find out all these terrible things were going on you didn't know about. But as a child, and now here was my 8-year-old asking me about his mortality, looking for something from me, and I didn't know how to give it to him because I couldn't lie to him because, of course, in his world, in this world, things like that do happen. And I thought, I can't secure my child and I have no connection to what's happening to me. What? I think I'm done. I just think I'm done. I'm finished. And I knew that my husband was there and he'd be able to take care of my son. And we had enough people in our lives to look after him. And I thought, I don't know how to deal with this. So I took myself into my bathroom and I locked my door and I went to the medicine cabinet and I got all my pills out and I poured them all in my hand. And I remember as I did it, I was looking at them thinking, this is kind of like that Beatles song, you know, she's got a ticket to ride. And I thought, here's my ticket. I'm gone. And there was a knock at my door and I said, who is it? And my son said, it's me, Mama. What you doing in there? I said, what do you want? He said, well, I found all them black and white pictures of you and Grandma and Grandpa, Mama. You know, the ones that you said was cracking and fading? I found a way to put them on the computer and save them so you wouldn't lose your memories. Mama, I said, I hear you. He said, well, come on out of there and let me show you how to do it. I said, okay, walk away from the door. He said, no, come on, Mama. I said, you know what? Walk away from the door now. And I could hear his little footsteps walking away. I wish I could tell you that that conversation is what stopped me from doing what I truly wanted to do. But it wasn't that. It was the realization that probably the first person to find me was going to be my son. And I just didn't think that that was right to do to him, you know, with all the things that they have to think about. I couldn't see doing that to him. And you know what else did it? I had the strangest thought. I realized that this, like menopause, is permanent. Except with menopause, I could cuss you out for 2 weeks straight and then send you a little Hallmark card saying I was sorry, you know? But with this, there wasn't enough videotape messages I could leave for him, not enough letters I could write to help him understand what I had done or to answer any of the questions he would have as he grew to manhood. I just thought, with everything that they have to think about, don't put this on him. So I didn't. I tossed it and I went out to see what he was doing. And I have to tell you, he shocked the hell out of me. Because I came out and he said, Mama, where's your 45 record collection? I said, I hid them from you when I found you playing Frisbee with the dog with them. He said, well, go and get them, Mama. I want you to teach me some of them dances you used to do when you was a kid. I said, get on away from me. He said, no, Mama, please, please. I like that music. And I said, you do? And he said, yeah. So I went and I got my 45 collection. I brought it down and I played for him the Hucklebuck. Now, oh, come on, y'all don't know the Hucklebuck. You remember the Huckleberry? Okay, come on. Here's a dance you should know. Oh, baby, when the lights are down low, grab your baby, then go. You do the Hucklebuck, you do the Hucklebuck, and if you don't know how to do it, man, you're out of luck. You push your partner out, and then you hunch your back. You get a little movement, and you suck a really yak. You wiggle like a snake, you wobble like a duck. That's what you do when you do the Hucklebuck. Go ahead, I can't believe y'all knew it. Oh, my stars, I can't believe y'all knew it. Woo! Well, let me tell you what happened. Me and my son, we hucklebucked on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. On Thursday, he went to school, taught his class how to hucklebuck. On Friday, they had some sort of talent contest at the school, which his class won, doing the hucklebuck. Now, what my son wore around his neck that whole time was that yellow thing, you know, that keeps the 45 in place. And I understood something so powerful. I understood that change is inevitable. It's going to happen no matter what you do. No matter how much you try to freeze it or pull it back or change it up, it still goes on. Time marches on. And do you march with it or do you march behind it? Now, I have decided that I'm going to march with it. But, I'm going to take certain liberties with it. Like, if I've got an itch that I normally would just kind of stand there and hope that I could scratch, just flexing myself. I'm not gonna do that no more. I'm just gonna go on in and scratch when I have to. If I find that I've got something going on in the front, well, I'm just gonna adjust it. And let me tell you something else. I love to shop at the Gap. And I found that when I would go in there, they'd always have some three-year-old at the cash register. You know, some three-year-old who weighed quarter of an ounce. And when you said, excuse me, miss, can you help me find a size 16 jeans? They would do that Linda Blair thing with their little heads, and their heads would turn all the way around. And they'd look at you like you pooed on the carpet. And I used to think to myself, ooh, I'd like to snatch you up and snap your little neck like a chicken. But I always would berate myself when I got home because that wasn't ladylike behavior. Not no more. Now when I go in and I say to one of them little three-year-olds, look here now, I need me some size 16 jeans. And they do that little exorcist thing. I now do snatch them up. I bring them right close to my face. I say, listen, I could shake you hard enough to snap your neck like a chicken. And because I'm menopausal, I wouldn't do a day of time. So when I put you down, I want you to thank the Lord that I saved your life. I want you to scurry away and go find me them size 16 jeans. And that's what I do. I put them down, I watch them run away. But before they get to where they're going, I stop them. I say, oh, little girl, keep in mind, you ain't but 10 years from this ass.